This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
On Joy Now, Transpositions. A safe place for trans communities, our friends and our allies to share our experiences. We'll discuss our issues, our challenges and our successes. We'll occasionally make you cry and hopefully we'll educate and inspire you. Welcome to Transpositions on Joy 94.9.
And you're listening to Transpositions on Joy 94.9. Good evening, Michelle.
Good evening, Ningxi.
How are you going? Now, look, I was actually just going to say a bit of a quick shout out for that last track that actually was playing, which was True Trans Soul by Against Me. It's like a perfect segue into our show because we are a trans-related show. And, the guys from Lefties, they gave us this, like, perfect song coming in.
It definitely
awesome.
Is.
Yeah, fantastic. Thanks, guys. Really do appreciate that. So, yes, you are listening to Transpositions again on this beautiful and lovely Tuesday night. It's a bit windy before because I was walking down the street and sort of the wind got me and sort of was flying my dress around the wrong way. I was doing a I was actually doing a Marilyn and I was a bit embarrassed, so I had to hold it all down. So a bit scary. It's one of those things you have to get used to.
Definitely is.
Yeah. So how's your week been, Mish?
It's been good so far. I've been a lovely weekend with my children and just running around town and kind of nice, have my new schedule with my new job, like in my weekends and stuff to do my things. So yeah. It's really good.
I think I did see you on the weekend.
Yes, you did. I did. And your lashes do look beautiful.
Thank you, sweetheart. Where would I be without you? I'd be totally lost.
I know. Well, we're sitting here yapping on and we have our lovely guest with us today.
We do have our lovely guest with us tonight. One of our lovely guests that we do have with us tonight, her name is Ashley. Ashley is a trans woman. So there is a studio full of trans women tonight, which is fantastic because Kurt's not here. So, we do have Ashley with us, and we will be talking to Ashley a little bit later in the show about some things which are going on with her and her life and so on. So one of the things I also wanted to try and have a bit of a chat about was Midsummer is almost over. It is over, but there was actually I did catch up with Simona Capitolina during Carnival. So I do have an interview that I'll be playing a little bit later during the show. We'll have a quick chat to Simona as well as we'll have a listen to one of the tracks that she remixed. So at the start of our show, every week we play one of her songs called Own, which for some strange reason I love, but she's done a really good remix of it.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
You're listening to Transpositions on Joy 94.9. This is Michelle. You're also joined by Ningxi and our special guest, Ashley, this evening. Hello, Ashley.
Hello, how are you?
Ashley, it has actually been a long time. I haven't seen you since like July.
It has been a while, hasn't it?
It has. Lately, some of the guests we've been coming on, it's been a bit of a reunion with a lot of people. We've had ML on recently and a few other people I haven't seen. And so when I heard you were coming in, I was like, oh, wow, I haven't seen Ashley in ages. So.
Well, I didn't get to see ML when she was in, when they were in, because I was overseas. But yeah, it's like so cool just getting people coming back through again and big reunion. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah.
So how have you been, Ashley?
I've been very well, actually. Yeah. Thank you for asking.
Now, you've gone back to school. You've had, how have things been with transition?
Back at school again now. So back studying psychology again. So starting to wonder why I actually did it. You know, it sounded like a great idea at the time, but yeah, now starting to question why I've actually gone back to it.
Well, that's actually a good question. So why is it that you've actually gone into studying psychology?
Well, I noticed that when I was transitioning that there's a massive void in the industry. I was talking to Fintan just the other day and last time I saw him, and the wait time is now over 12 months to see a psychologist.
Wow, a long time.
Yeah, and that was one of the reasons that sparked me to want to get into it. So
the course that you're doing, how long does it actually take to go and do?
Well, the course itself to get your bachelor is 3 years.
So that's 3 years full-time?
3 years full-time.
Okay.
Then you've got to get your master's.
Mm-hmm.
So that adds another 2 years.
Right.
And then your honours. Okay. So that adds another year. So there's 6 years.
Okay, so that's a lot of work.
Yeah.
So it's actually, you're studying full-time or part-time? And
I'm studying full-time.
Full-time, okay. Yeah. So how's that working out with home life and those kinds of things?
Yeah, it's a little bit of a balance,
yep.
Trying to work and study at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Although it's quite easy for me at the moment.
Oh, good. That's awesome. Because, like, one of the things I sort of thought about was actually going and sort of going back to school and studying and those kinds of things. Because I know that with transition itself, so it sort of brings about an opportunity to sit back and reassess lots of things in your life. And I really like some of the things I do here at Joy, and I'd love to actually go through and study a lot more in journalism and those kinds of things. But was it like when you were talking to Fintan, was it like just an instant light bulb moment when you sort of said to yourself, wow, this just kind of makes sense because there's a lot more people coming out being trans and there's more need for mental support for people who are transgender?
Well, I actually started my course a little while ago, back before I even started talking to Fintan.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it was in the beginning, my initial reaction to wanting to do psychology was pretty much the lack of support that's actually out there for transgender people. Yeah, we do have support groups and stuff like that, but actual professional support, it's very little support out there for transgender people. So, yeah.
Because I know there's probably really just you can really count on one hand the amount of really good transgender psychologists who are actually out there. So you sort of feel as though you're going to be able to sort of fit a need going into that pool of psychologists in how many years?
Yeah. Yeah, I've got another 5 years to go.
That's okay because, like, you know, at least you are 12 months ahead of sort of really the curve anyway. So
yeah.
That's good.
Now, one of the things we were talking about earlier with Mingzi and I, we were talking about things like direction and change. And that's when we thought of you and coming in and talking about that because your background, very similar to me, coming from like a really different background, different career, and then this change to something completely different. And I'd love to know a bit more about you and your story of where you got from, say, your career path during transition to where you are now looking at psychology and where you see yourself going.
Well, I actually transitioned in the workplace. I was working two jobs at the time, both working about 80 hours a week. So, you know, really pushing myself really, really hard to work. Mm-hmm. My first job I was doing was a boilermaker by trade.
Mm-hmm.
So I was actually a WILD teacher at a WILD educator at my job. And that had about 450 welders that worked in the factory. So I come out to every single one of them on the same day of a morning.
Okay.
that was quite interesting because the workplace itself is actually a very masculine industry.
Can you say massive boys club?
That would be a big boys club. Boilermakers, yeah.
Yeah, and they had a lot of bikies that worked there too. So a lot of the Bandidos actually worked in the workplace as well with me. So after coming out to them, I was expecting to get a hammer to the back of the head.
Obviously, you're sitting here right next to us, so that didn't happen.
Thank God for that.
Yeah, that's relief.
But one thing that did surprise me and was I waited until the end of the day for everybody to leave the car park, and I had one bikie left that I didn't know about, and he's one of the biggest, toughest bikies that was worked in the factory, and he pulled up right in front of me on his Harley, and I nearly packed it. I nearly died. And he turned around to me and he said, "Congratulations, well done. You know, wish you all the best. You've got the biggest balls on anybody that I've ever seen in my life." So that was really positive. And my other workplace has been very positive as well. So I've had two really good experiences in both workplaces. But I injured my back at work and couldn't go back to working as a boiler maker. So that's sort of after sitting around wallowing in my own sorrows for about 6 months, I decided to do something about it and racked my brain on what I wanted to do and, yeah, decided to go into psychology to help fill the void that is out there.
Oh, that's just funny. Go from completely that to that. And I've personally had that same experience with myself going to like previous workmates and going away and showing up, and they'd never seen me before in transition. They knew it. And here came like one of the directors or partners of the firm, and he goes, you've got some of the biggest balls. And I'm going, you know what? I can either take offense to this and go, maybe. But I took it as a complete compliment. You know what? Because none of them have as, you know, so yeah, congrats. But you also do great photography too. I've been seeing your stuff on Facebook that you've been doing. So
I occasionally get lucky with the camera, yeah.
A bit more than luck, sweetheart.
It's skill.
It's skill.
Yeah. But that's the thing I was going to actually ask, you know, just sort of some hobbies and those kinds of things. Is it really important for you to sort of to maintain, you know, obviously you're studying psychology and obviously going through changes with the work and things like that. Is it really important for you to try and have like some hobbies sort of going around as well to keep you motivated and keep you interested in other things outside of just being trans?
Oh, absolutely. You know, for me personally, and as a psychologist, I would strongly suggest to try and maintain as much of your original life as you possibly can. You know, there's just because you're transitioning doesn't mean that you have to change everything. You know, keep some of the stuff that you love doing. So,
and that's it. Like, you know, otherwise, you know, you get stuck into being like too one-dimensional with everything else going on in your life. So, yeah, being trans is just like only one part of your life. There's other parts of your life that you sort of explore. Yeah. So, very good. And you are listening to Transpositions on Joy 94.9. So we are back in the studio. So we do have Michelle, but also our very special guest, Ashley, is here with us. So, Ashley, one of the things I wanted to try and find out as well with the study itself, is it sort of one of those things which is easy to get your mind around, or are you dealing with some really weird, complex and sort of strange sort of societal views on how trans people should be or how society should be in general based upon some of the study that you're doing?
Well, based on the study that I'm doing, it is, and especially from the background that I come from, it is extremely difficult to get your head around, because it's almost like learning a whole new language sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, as a boilermaker, the biggest words you hear are generally considered obscene words. So,
it's okay. We're after 9 o'clock, but yeah.
So, you know, it is a major culture shock going back into studying psychology. But as far as transgender issues go, I actually come out to every class I start. Before we introduce ourselves in every class, I actually come out and tell them that I'm a transgender student that's returning back to work from such and such.
So do they say that you're a woman transitioning to become a man? Because I'm looking at you, like, I couldn't even tell that you're trans. It's like I'm so jealous.
Oh, that's nice. I don't know what to say now.
Shucks. But yeah, what's the general sort of reaction that you get from people when you actually go and sort of out yourself in class and say, hey, I'm a trans woman, I've transitioned from being a man to a woman, and how does that go down in class itself?
Usually goes down quite well. I find I get a very good reaction from people. Mm-hmm. They think that I'm extremely brave for actually coming out and telling the class that I do. And I think it's very important from my perspective, not only for my own anxieties and stresses that go with it, but also for their perspective too, because a lot of the time people don't get to associate with any trans people. Mm. So therefore they don't know what to do. And these are psychologists, so people who are aspiring to be psychologists. So if they're, the more exposure I can give them, the better it's going to be for the rest of the community.
Exactly. I suppose it gives them that sort of unique perspective that they've actually made contact and engaged with someone actually is trans, which, you know, a lot of people really don't get to engage with someone who's actually trans or that they know is actually trans. What sort of just going on with those themes themselves, what's generally the reaction that you get coming from your instructors and your teachers and those kinds of things when they're dealing with a student who's actually trans? And is it something that they've actually dealt with very often at all?
Generally speaking, no. A lot of them haven't. A lot of them haven't had much experience with trans people at all. Mm-hmm. So from them, they usually pull me aside at the at the end of the first class and ask me, you know, if there's anything I can do to help you through your course and stuff like that. So they're usually very good.
Mm. One thing that actually stands out to me with yourself, Ashley, was vocally you actually sound more cis as a female. You've got the different range and stuff, and I also know that you do karaoke quite a bit, and you win quite a few awards doing it. But I also know that you can go and beat some of the women as well as the men with your vocal range. What kind of reaction do you get with that normally?
Depends where I'm singing. I do sing in straight bars as well as gay bars like DTs and that on a Wednesday night. It also depends on the song that I'm singing too. I've been getting into a song, Grease Megamix, lately.
Mm-hmm.
And I tend to do it by myself. So it's both the Olivia Newton-John part and the John Travolta part.
I would actually pay to be there to see that.
And it does get quite a mixed reaction. It's a lot of people, when I sing it in a straight bar, people are very confused. Very, very confused. So it's quite funny, some of the reactions that I do get.
I do love people's reactions when they do, because when you start to blend in a bit better in society, it's not so much about how you're looking, it's how you're presenting yourself, et cetera. And if you just find out how to blend in, and I know myself at work, look, we've talked about, you know, our size and our looks and whatever, and I've had people go to me and say, you know, oh, she's just a really tall woman. And other people going, wait a minute, no, but, you know, so-and-so, she used to be a man. No. And so I can only imagine how you're standing there and the two voices, they would think you've like possessed or something.
But it's actually like, I like mucking around with voice. Like normally for me to go into my old voice is actually something which is very difficult for me to do. But on the other occasion, I like to do it and just like completely spook people just by suddenly just dropping my voice really, really low. And it's just like, what the?
Yeah, what psychology with my children?
Yeah.
Like I do, and I'm like, 1, 2, and I like drop it right down, and they're like, that's daddy's angry voice.
Yeah, well, this is the thing for me. It's just like very hard for me to just drop my voice. I just can't do it. It's just like I really have to think about relaxing my vocal folds and say, oh, okay, now that's the thing, I'm sure we've got a whole episode that we could talk about voice at some point in time.
But it's quite amazing, because that's one thing that really stands out with yourself, with transition. We've all got certain things that really stand out within ourselves, and that's one thing that's always stood out with you, and I was quite amazed by that. That was actually...
Well, it's actually quite handy, too, to be able to do that, to be able to drop your voice at an instant. Especially when you got guys coming onto you and you really don't want them to, and they just don't get the hint. So, you know, when you turn around to them and say, I really don't think I'm your sort of girl, and they say, why is that? And they say, well, I turn around to them and I say, well, I'm trans. And they're like, no way. I've seen Thailand ladyboys and you're nothing like them. And they just don't get the hint. And then I had this one particular guy one day, and he turned around to me and said, right, well, if you're actually a guy. And I said, well, I'm not a guy. He goes, but if you're a guy, how come you don't sound like one? And so in the deepest voice I could possibly muster at the time, I've turned around and said,
I can if you want me to.
And with that, he has literally just dropped his jaw. It was like a cartoon. I didn't think the human jaw could actually drop as far as it did. And he's bolted out the door as fast as he possibly could.
I am sure cis women out there would actually pay to have that party trick. And what part of fuck off don't you understand?
But that's the thing. It's just like, it's just like the greatest defense mechanism that you can possibly have to sort of really repel a guy that you're not interested in. It's just like to drop the voice and just go, mate, really, I'm not interested. Go away. But it's like, you know, it's just freaky.
Well, while we go out and try to call an exorcist to get the demons out of the room. You're listening to Transpositions on Joy 94.9 with Michelle Migsy and our guest Ashley. Now, Migs, we got some messages already coming through, don't we?
We do like to get messages from as many people as what we can. So we've actually got a message which has come through from one of our lovely listeners, Hannah. Hello, Hannah. She writes to us, hi, Mish and Migsy. Two things I'd love to know. First, I'd love to know about what you think of gay TMs. Okay, so that's the first question she's got. And the second question she's got, dear future husband, is such a snappy tune. I can't help but dance. It's like, well, same in here as well. We're actually dancing.
Anything
well.
Of her songs actually are good to dance
yeah,
to.
Yeah, I know. Something about Megan Trainor's work, I just love it. And maybe it's the name, I don't know. But she also says, but it's so sex negative and chockers with the with misogyny. Yeah, it's actually probably a good bit of a good point, sort of having to sort of write something, say, my dear future husband, you know, it's just like setting women up for having to be that subservient kind of role.
Yeah.
First question, gay TMs. I think they're an interesting idea. I think it's also playing on the pink doll a little bit as well. But, hey, look, if it's positive for the LGBTI community, I can't see that's really such a bad thing, I suppose.
What do you think, Ashley? Have you heard about the gay TMs?
No, actually, well, I haven't.
It's a campaign by, I forget who.
It's one of the major banks, one of the big four banks. Yeah. I think it might be the ANZ Bank.
I think it might be the one. But they're doing is they're popping up all these special ATMs within more rural towns. And it's called a gay TM. And it's promoting...
the LGBTI community.
Yeah.
And they're sort of making them really quite camp and glam and those kinds of things. Lots of glitter bombs and all those kinds of things.
Oh, it brings some fun and excitement. And I know it's kind of playing on the words and stuff. And different people have different thoughts and feelings. I like it. Personally, I think
it's pretty cool. I think it's pretty cool. But some people sort of do view it quite negatively. And I know that there's one in New Zealand which was actually vandalised for some strange reason. I know there was a political cause behind it, which I can't recall the details of, but yeah, there was one which was vandalized, and I just can't understand the logic behind vandalism at the best times anyway.
So. No,
but
neither.
Anyway, well, thank you, Hannah. Appreciate your questions.
I know there's another question that came through as well. Questions around, say, yourself coming out in the workplace, and how did you approach with human resources or whatever, just to help with other people who might have issues with that?
Well, I originally started talking with management first, mm-hmm. And the HR department, just to let them know what was happening and what I was going to be going through and that sort of thing. And so we spoke for quite some time as to the legislations around, you know, having a transgender person in the workplace and what their roles are and what they need to do and stuff like that. So that took quite a long time, and they were working with me as to when I'm going to be ready to tell the rest of the workplace. Mm. And so just before I decided to transition fully, that's when I told everybody. So.
Oh, okay.
It's like working with HR is really important for them to sort of get the process working and process sort of flowing through the business, because otherwise, you know, the rest of the organisation and the employees in particular are not going to know how to handle the change and those kinds of things.
Did they realise the complications of the transition to you, or did they seek other help, external help? Or
They didn't seek external help. I'm very open to talk about these sort of issues. I think it's really important that we do get the education out there. So they spoke a lot with me and a lot with what I felt was important and what I felt wasn't important, and just, you know, general stuff around, you know, toilet use and stuff like that. So
were they experienced in how to deal with the trans issues? Like, did they have the education themselves?
No, they had absolutely no education. In the workplace where I was working as a boilermaker, it actually helped that the HR manager had a sister-in-law that had transitioned. So that sort of helped a little bit, but they didn't have a lot to do with that side of the family, and so they weren't. Yeah. They didn't really know a lot about it.
Okay, so they were slightly educated, and you educated them as well. So it was a mutual sort of thing.
Mm. Oh,
well, that's really good.
That's really important that you can actually go and do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, look, one of the things I was going to say, that there is actually a trans woman who is actually making waves, and during Midsummer Carnival, I actually managed to catch up with a good friend of transpositions, and that's Simona Capitolina. So Simona's actually a fantastic artist, and she also works with another group as well, another production organisation whose name I've just had a huge mental blank. But look, I did actually speak to Simona during Midsummer, and I've actually got an interview which I'm going to play shortly. But one of the first questions that we actually did ask Simona is, with the kind of events such as Midsummer Carnival and those kinds of things. We wanted to know, look, we wanted to try and find out if they're really important for the LGBT community, but also for people who are trans. And we wanted to specifically find out from Simona, from her perspective, is how important does she feel it is for people, particularly also people who are trans, to get out and spread the whole trans word and trans vibe at these kinds of events?
Well, I think it's kind of, you know, it's our few weeks in the year to, you know, to kind of take the center stage and to come to the front, I guess, and to talk about our stories and sing about our stories. And yeah, so it's important to celebrate like Melbourne queer culture, and Carnival Day is awesome. You know, like everyone has one of these around the world, and you know, this is just our little time in the middle of January that we all look forward to, sit on the grass and just have a bit of a crazy time. So yeah,
just chill out and have some fun and just spectate and watch the interesting sights go by.
Yeah, we just get a posse and just pretty much look at everybody.
Well, and that's one of the things I've really noticed about this as well, because you sort of really notice some really quite interesting people going by, and some of which are always going to pique your interest with some things that you see. So have you sort of seen anything today which has sort of piqued your interest at all?
No.
Oh, okay. So let's skip to the next question.
We've been sitting beside like the main stage, and I think the only thing I've done in excitement was I thought I heard the start of Frankie Goes to Hollywood Relax, and I put my hands in the air going yay, and then I realized it was a cover band, and the person singing it was like singing it in the lowest register that you could possibly sing a Frankie Goes to Hollywood song, and I was like, oh damn. It was like, relax, don't do it. And I was like, yeah, sure.
Yeah, sure, just don't do it.
Instead of like, relax, don't do it. I'm going, oh, come on, like, excite the shit out of me. Don't bore the crap out of me.
I don't know what it is, Simone. Every time we sort of have you on the show and things like that, everything sort of just really goes, start to go haywire. So it's like sometimes you are a bit of a bad influence.
Yeah, I've got a little bit too much to say for myself. You know, you know, if someone's got to say it, no one's going to say it for me.
Well, absolutely. So there's nothing wrong with that. So I noticed of late you've actually just released some new remixes of the fantastic song Own. Can you tell us a little bit about those remixes and what you put them out for?
Yeah, well, it's the last release off my album that I put out last year. So I'm kind of glad to see that it's kind of come to an end. So Kiara Kickdrum, who's a really awesome techno DJ, she's done a really awesome remix, and yeah, then I just did another one of, I think it's like the third crack I've had at a mix for the one I did, so I did it in about 15 minutes and it's like perfect. So yeah,
I was going to say I absolutely love that remix, and I'd love to play it on the show. One of the things I want to try and find out is what sort of projects and did you have actually planned coming up for 2015?
I'm going to Sydney to play Monster Gras, which I'm really excited about because it's the first time I've gone up to play in Sydney. It's also the first Mardi Gras I'll go to, which is good. Got a new album, well, a new release. I don't know whether it's going to be an EP or album, but yeah, new single on the way, and you know, video and all that kind of stuff. So that'll be for March. And yeah, just a heap of shows locally coming up, and yeah, I'm pretty much already got like up until about May sorted out, and then hoping to tour America and Europe in like May, June, July.
Fantastic. So it sounds like you've got a really busy year coming up with 2015.
2015's feeling good already, Dahl.
So what about with 2016? Anything there that you're able to talk about just yet? Or is it too far away?
2016. All I know, I think I was saying to someone last night that if you kind of say, you know, the next few years, you've basically just got an automatic smile on your face with all of the syllables. It's like 2015, 2016, 2017. So I think they're all going to be really happy.
And that was Simona Capitolina. Always fantastic to listen to Simona. One of the things, every time we have Simona in the studio here is everything just goes crazy. I know we spoke to her probably, I think it was about November last year. We had Michelle, Simone, and also Evie from Queensland, and we just had an absolute crazy studio going on that night. So that was Simone. I just want to have a bit of a quick shout out to a first time listener, Kate. Hello, Kate. How are you? I'm glad you're listening to us here on Transpositions on Joy 94.9. Now, that was the SK mix of Owned by Simone Capitolina. So it was quite a long track, but it's just like, it's one of those things that those tracks that Simone has been working on. And she said she did it in 15 minutes and she absolutely nailed it. And I think she said that's the last time she's going to put that mix together. So that's it, done. I wanted to play it. Thank you. Simone, I love that track. Really, I do. I think it's absolutely fantastic if you're listening.
Well, it's great. You know, we're in that position. We can go and actually showcase and share different work by different trans artists. And, you know, not many opportunities are there for them to get their work displayed. So, yeah, very good for to Simone on that
one. So. Well, any chance we can play some really good trans stuff, we're going to play it here on Transpositions because it's our show, the trans community.
Now, Ashley, I'd love to go and talk a bit more about, say, and wrap up some more about things with your transition and when you came out in the workplace. And one of the things that really stood out to me, thinking about myself coming from a rather masculine work environment to what I'm doing now, could you see yourself, despite the injury that you've had, could you ever see yourself going back to your old role in the Boilermaker role in a very masculine environment?
If psychology fell through for whatever reason and I didn't finish the course or I couldn't get any work, I would go back to doing boilermaking. I love the job. I love the work. Mm. I did it for 7 years. So, yeah, I definitely would go back.
Yeah, because then there seems to be a habit or a common thing amongst many trans folk that they dismiss their previous life. And I don't do that task. That was my male or female half that did that role. Like myself, I could see myself going back to doing the IT work that I did, but I would probably be a bit uncomfortable at this moment in my transition dealing with a very masculine, say, workplace. But I had no problem going back and doing any of that work.
Yeah. No, I feel it's very important. As I said earlier, I think it's very important to try and maintain as much of your original life as you possibly can. That includes your friends, your hobbies, and all that sort of jazz as well. You know, prior to my coming out, I spoke to all my very close friends and explained to them and gave them a chance to digest what I had told them before they actually saw me for who I actually am.
Yeah.
So, and I feel it works very well. It's very important for people because it's not just you who's transitioning. It's your family and your friends who has to go through a transitional period as well.
Well, I do have to say, it'd be really good to see where this path takes you for doing psychology because as you see a lot of professionals, they're cisgendered, they're identify majority as hetero. And it'd be great to see someone who does identify as trans actually stepping up into this position to help the wider community. Like you said, there's that need because of the wait for like a 12-month wait to get help and support.
Absolutely. Fantastic stuff. Look, thank you very much. You're listening to Transpositions on Joy 94.9. It is coming close to that time of the day because you know, it's 5 to 10. It's almost home time. It's almost time to go to Betty Bars and have a good night's sleep. It was a beauty sleep or something like that for us, Michelle.
Definitely a beauty sleep for us.
I think we need as much help as what we can possibly get.
Exactly.
So it is into the show. So
if you did miss us and it was something you missed during the show, you can always get us back on any of our podcasts we supply on our website on joy.org.au. You can find us under Transpositions. We also upload them into iTunes. Anything else you've also missed in the past, all of our previous shows are there as well. If there's anything you need to ask us during the week, you can always reach us via the Facebook page or also email us through our joy.org.au/transpositions.
Yep. Also email transpositions@joy.org.au if you do want to reach us directly through email.
We're also Twits and all that as well.
Twits,
too.
Yeah. I was about to say Twits in a different way, but anyway,
yeah.
I thought I might not say that. But look, thank you very much for listening. You have been listening to Transpositions on Joy 94.9, and we will be back next week, and we can't wait to hear from you. Thank you, Transpositions.
You've been listening to Transpositions. We love your feedback. And if you want to share your own story, email us during the week, transpositions@joy.org.au, or contact us via social media. You'll find all the links at joy.org.au/transpositions. Thank you for listening to Transpositions on Joy 94.9.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.